Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
Delivering all the news, the informed views, and just telling great motorsport stories since 2003. Powered by the racetalk.com. This is On The Grid.
G'day everyone and welcome to another episode of On The Grid here on mypodcasthouse.com or on the Radio Show Limited's RS1. Thank you for joining us. Big show coming your way again this weekend. We're going to catch up with Craig Lowndes and Cooper Murray shortly, talking about the release of their wildcard car that was done here in Melbourne during the week. And it's going to be, of course, run at Sandown and Bathurst. We'll talk to those guys about their plans for 2025. Dale Rogers caught up with Stephanie Rattal, who is obviously the founder of the SRO Motorsport Group, which runs numerous GT3 events, such as the Fanatec World GT World Challenge, also the Total 24 Hours of Spa and the Intercontinental GT Challenge. We'll have a listen to that shortly as well. Hots and Knots, a look at the week with Richard Crail and also Mark Walker, and plenty more to come right here on The Grid.
You're listening to the latest from around the motorsport world. On The Grid.
Okay, so 888 have been running a wildcard program at Supercheap Auto for a few years now. Craig Lowndes has been involved with it, and he is again for 2024. The wildcard, of course, will run at Sandown and Bathurst, and he'll be racing it with Cooper Murray. And we caught up with the two drivers at their launch earlier this week.
Catching up with the drivers of the Supercheap Auto wildcard for Sandown and Bathurst for this year. Craig Lowndes, Cooper Murray, g'day guys.
How you going?
Excellent. How are you guys going? Are you excited about this?
I am, because this is my third year now as part of this program, so it's working really well and just nice to get the delivery of the car out there. Obviously, Cooper's name's out there, so you know, we just want to get on with the business.
Coops, you're excited.
Oh, excited is an understatement. Yeah, as Craig says, good to just get the test delivery out there now, and now we can sort of focus on what's ahead with the test day coming up on the 28th of May.
And for you, a solo drive in Darwin, which is going to be spectacular to get your debut in supercars.
Oh, it is. It's spectacular to get my debut at supercars at Darwin and to do it with 888 and the support of Craig alongside me as well, and Jamie and Rock and Will. It's amazing.
The opportunity this allows kids who are on that pathway, Craig, to get a drive with a team like 888 is an amazing opportunity, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it's something that, as I said, it's my third year now, and to have, like, even the first year with Brock and Russell Ingall start this whole program, and to see where Brock's at right now, it's a really testament of what can be done. Just need a little bit of a, obviously a bit of a pathway for the young ones to get involved and give them an opportunity to sort of step up that way. Zane last year learned a lot at Darwin in the sense that the cars are very different from what obviously Super 2 are to what we are right now with Gen 3. The cars are very different to drive, obviously aero-wise. We don't have anti-roll bars in them. So again, for Cooper to have that opportunity to learn, especially at Darwin, it's really, really important.
Do you spend the next 6 months picking his brains about what you need to do to get ready for those two events?
By the end of the 6 months, he'll want to get rid of me. I'll be picking his brain that much. But no, it's obviously to have Craig alongside me to learn off is going to be instrumental in my career, and he's one of the kings, so to learn off him would be the best.
Wishing you all the best, guys.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
All right, Dale Rogers caught up with Stephanie Rattal, the founder of the SRO Motorsport Group, which, of course, is responsible for running some fantastic GT3 events around the world, including the Fanatec GT World Challenge, the Total 24 Hours of Spa, and the Intercontinental GT Challenge. And, of course, at Phillip Island on the weekend as part of the Shannon's Speed Series, the Fanatec GT World Challenge Australia event was a run, and what a fantastic weekend of racing it was as well. Let's have a listen to Dale having a chat to Stephanie Rattal.
Stephanie, welcome back to Australia. You're here in round one of the championship this year with two categories now, GT3 and the GT4s. Just your thoughts on the Australian series at the moment.
I'm here for the second time this year after I've attended the Bathurst 12 hours, so that shows our commitment and the potential we see in the development of GT racing in Australia. We've been here, in fact, for 3 years in the partnership with ARG, but now that we've taken full ownership of the series, and also thanks to the initial commitment of Carl and Troy into development of GT4 last year. I think we have the two main categories of GT racing, with GT3 and GT4 now in place in Australia with different championships. It's always, you know, we promote so many series around the world that we see differences on the market. In the UK, for example, we have this very successful British GT Championship, which mixes GT3 and GT4, and there it seemed that the team want to be together. But on most markets, GT4 can really develop once it's promoted independently from GT3, and that has proven, because it's been, in fact, GT4 has been in this first in Australian GT, then in GT World Challenge for a good number of years, but it never really blossomed like it's doing now, and it's why I see a great potential for what concerns the. I mean, starting with 18 cars this weekend is quite remarkable. We can be very happy with it. And we believe more are coming. And when I was last weekend at the Paul Ricard and I met with a number of the manufacturers, a good number of them talked about Australia and said they're very happy to see GT4 emerging on this market too. I have to say that the victory of Ford is, you know, we like all manufacturers, but, you know, and I promise you, we didn't help it in any way with balance of performance or anything. But, you know, on the 60th anniversary of the Mustang, to have a Mustang double win, and I'm sure that will be very well appreciated by Ford, even at the highest level. So that's good. And for what concerns GT3, I mean, the upcoming of a Ferrari team here, with more cars coming even in the near future, is great, because it's true that there was a bit of a match between Audi and Mercedes, and the strengths of GT3 that you have so many manufacturers involved. When you think we have 9 manufacturers entered in Fanatec GT World Challenge globally on our global competition, bringing together Europe, America, Asia and Australia. And we have only really 3 brands represented. We are only 2 now, 3 brands represented in Australia. So that the challenge now is to not only grow the grid, but also grow the diversity. But we see the potential. And also something which is very good with GT3, GT4, it also, you can see a good number of very young drivers. And that if you see globally, GT4 has been home of many upcoming young drivers into the world of GT racing, and we hope the same will happen here on this market.
The calendar over the last couple of years, it's been a bit of a moving feast. There's been some races with supercars, there's been some races in this series. I think that cementing this program into the Speed Series in Australia now must be a very good thing.
No, we definitely want, you know, maybe with one exception a year, but you know, we had the same development in America initially. World Challenge was running with many events with IndyCar, and if you want to build a championship, you want to build a category, at one point you need to be on the standalone event, you need to be the main headliner, and I think GT racing should get to that position and it will grow. You know, if you see this weekend, there are many categories that have, you know, between 14, 15, 18 cars. We need to see how we'll develop, and we hope that to go over 20 cars quite rapidly, and that's the challenge, you know. The objective is, of course, we don't pretend to match the extraordinary grids that we have, both in Europe, in Asia. I mean, in Asia next weekend in Sepang, we have in the mid-30s cars, you know, which is very impressive on the Asian market. And we don't pretend to reach that in Australia for a foreseeable future, but go over 20 and mid-20s for both GT4 and GT5 is an achievable objective. Challenging, but achievable.
We've also seen in GT3, particularly this weekend, a little bit in GT4, but you've got a number of the established stars coming from supercars and other categories in the Pro-Am section. Is that something that occurs overseas as well, when you're trying to bring some of the stars from other categories into the formula?
I mean, it depends. I mean, in Europe, GT racing is a star in itself, you know. It has really become one of the, everybody, and even everybody converted to GT3. Even the almighty DTM now run with GT3. GTE has gave way to GT3 at Le Mans, so the category that I created back in 2006 has really conquered the world of sports car racing. So, and we have our own stars in their own, you know. But Australia is still dominated effectively by supercar when it comes to professional drivers, and it's great. The more we can have in GT3, the highest profile we can have while keeping the pro-am element, which we believe is important and works tremendously well on other markets. I mean, a British GT again, we have, I think, 43 cars at the next race at Silverstone, so it's a massive success. It's also based on very high-level pro-am, and the fans are following it, and it's a successful formula.
Looking, if we're sitting here in 12 months' time, what would be the goal? Mid-20s would be the goal?
Mid-20s in both GT3 and GT4. As I said, it's a challenge, but it's an achievable challenge.
Appreciate your time, and thanks for coming back to Australia.
We'll be back to more On The Grid in just a second. Now, let's face it, everyone needs insurance. So, when you need to renew your cover, the On The Grid hot tip is to give our mates at City Rural Insurance Brokers a call. City Rural have been dealing with the insurance industry for years, and they've got more than 50 years of industry experience. Need insurance for your business? They'll sort it. Are you a landlord and want to cover your rental properties or investments? They're your people. Or are you like me and need professional cover in case you say something silly on a podcast? City Rural can sort that too. They did it for me, and it was super easy. The best thing of all is that City Rural are, like you and I, motorsport people. If you've watched car racing this year, you might have even seen their logo on cars like the legendary Richard Mork Super Ute, among others. They know our game, and they know the people that follow it. So support the people who back our industry. And when you need to throw a new setup at your insurance cover, drop Andrew and his team at City Rural Insurance Brokers a line, and they'll fix you up. Head to cityrural.au or follow the links on theracetalk.com. City Rural, better cover, better service. And now, back to the podcast.
There's more great motorsport stories coming next on The Grid.
All right, joining me on the program, Richard Quayle and Mark Walker. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Shebex. Calling in this week from New Zealand. I didn't spend 6 months in a leaky boat getting here. I spent 3 hours in a very comfortable Qantas jet. Robbed me Auckland on Monday evening, and as we record this, it's Tuesday night, quite late New Zealand time, I might add, because we've kept our original recording time, which is plus 2 hours for me. But I'm down here in Taupo and thoroughly enjoying things, Shebex. I've got to tell you, it's going to be a very interesting weekend.
It's got a very big roof.
I'm in a little guest wing, I suppose, of the Airbnb we're staying in. It's very nice though. Taupo, cool. To that in a minute. I think this is going to be a very, very cool weekend for supercars.
Lovely. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Tony. He may not have been 6 months in a leaky boat, but if it was a Boeing, it was probably leaking anyway.
Ouch.
Nah, it wasn't a Max. Firmly airtight. No problems.
Yeah, beauty.
Yeah, that actually happened the other day to me when I hopped on, come back from Brisbane, and the steward said, "Welcome to the Max 8. And I've gone, "Oh shit, no, really." He didn't have to say that.
No. I've got to tell you, boys, we are the first member to go to Taupo, at least for this trip. And as we record this, it's late Tuesday night, our time, as we said. You'll hear this Wednesday morning. I was fortunate enough to get out to the racetrack today, drove down from Auckland this morning, left, staying in a hotel just to the south of Auckland Airport, and cruised down this morning. Really nice drive. particularly enjoyed the various district councils or whatever they call them over here on the way down, scheduling all of their roadworks to slow you down so you could see the amazing scenery. Very, very pretty drive down. Once you get down into the Waikato past Hamilton, it is quite stunning. Really nice drive down here to Taupo, about 3 hours drive. And then into town and the racetrack. And I've got to tell you, I don't know if you blokes watched any of the Super Sprint New Zealand Motor Racing Championships over summer. Right? Good coverage. Friend of the show, Greg Rust, was the main commentator on that. Very entertaining. And you watch the action from Taupo on that coverage, and my opinion of Taupo watching it from home was that it looked quite spread out. It looked like Harrison could almost be a bit of the bend, whereas a racetrack in a paddock, in a way. Not a lot of landmarks to probably grasp onto as the cars go round. But I got to tell you, seeing it live is very, very different. And this place is going to have a real stadium-style atmosphere, especially in the bottom half of the circuit where the start finish line is, turn 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They sort of disappear up a little bit up into that top hairpin and then the long run down the back straight. But the way they've built the temple stadium feel, and this event is sold out, just over, I'm told, 23,000 tickets both days, so Saturday and Sunday is the capacity. And it is going to be pumping. So it's going to have that Pukekohe feel of all that crowd sitting on top of the racetrack like they did on the big Ford Mountain there at Pukekohe. So I'm really optimistic that it's going to retain that amazing atmosphere that Pukekohe had. I think this is going to be a really impressive just to have a wander around the racetrack today. The facility is really nice, like the pit and the garage area is miles advanced of where Pukekohe was from a facility standpoint. And honestly, I think facilities as well are as well. I'm really, really looking forward to this. And having seen the place in the flesh for the first time, you really get an understanding of how the layout works. And if you're sitting in those grandstands on driver's right in that, you can see the entire racetrack and it's all in front of you. So I'm really excited about that. I think it's going to be a great spectator circuit, and hopefully the Kiwi fans love it. I'm not quite sure the township of Taupo quite knows what they've got in for yet, but I'm looking forward to it again.
The photo that you sent us this afternoon, if they ever wanted to do a version of New Zealand's Mount Panorama, it seems like they could do it at Taupo.
Just run around the mountain.
They could just keep running straight up the mountain at the back there and go around the back and come back down.
Mm. Yeah, it's very scenic, Shebex. It's scenic, you know, it's not South Island, sure, but it's scenic enough to be a New Zealand, which is great. The interesting thing is there's this permanent smoke near the racetrack, just adjacent to it. But what it is steam from a geothermal. Right? It's just the other side of the main road that runs next to the racetrack. Very interesting. But yeah, there's a gigantic mountain next to this racetrack, and it's either perpetually covered in cloud or raining up there, but it's pretty spectacular. It's a really nice place. And I've got to tell you, boys, Taupo itself is worth a visit. Massive lake, fresh water, really big holiday town. Apparently it runs all year round. So in winter, it's a hub for skiing because the northern snowfields aren't far away from here. Lots of accommodation. The town centre itself, it's really cool, sort of cafe strip sort of vibe. Yeah, really, really pretty place. But the lake itself is stunning. It's a really nice part of the world. So it's a cool place to come from a tourism point of view. I can see why they've pushed hard to have it here.
I can vouch for that lake because I had one of the best nights of my life on that lake. It was a karaoke fishing cruise where I caught the biggest and ugliest fish. So I definitely got drunk that night. So
and then sung
I
about
can
it.
Vouch for that. Yeah.
Mm.
Before we go forward to the event this weekend, let's go back quickly because we should cover off on what happened at Phillip Island the weekend. A fantastic running of cars and stuff down there.
Yeah, what a
weekend.
Speed
Series is what I was looking for.
Yeah, nice, nice. Shannon Speed Series. Yeah. Yeah, Ford Mustang 60th Anniversary Race Phillip Island, to give it its full title. What a good weekend it was. Didn't it feel like a big boy race meeting?
Kind of did. You wait until my not-so-boy, I'm going to tee off. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Go nuts.
Yeah, well, but they've been well covered on the power rankings.
So where do you start? GT3, the GT World Challenge Australia, that Sunday race. Yeah, wowee. Everyone trackside didn't have PA, so we didn't know who was driving. But you could tell that the two leading cars were the two leading cars, and you could have fooled everyone into thinking that they were the two pro drivers. Where has this Tim Miles cat been all our lives?
Yeah.
What was going on there? That was ludicrous. Yeah. That was such good racing. And even Saturday with the rain, like it, there was an isolated rain shower there at one stage at turn two, and that was it, just before the red flags came out. It was insane. It was absolutely insane. Then you've got GT4's debut. I mean, a fresh fleet of factory fresh race cars. They looked awesome. They sounded awesome. They drove really well. There's only upside there. You know, when they get a field of 30-odd cars, that will be the best thing in Australian motorsport. They're awesome overseas, and they've got the makings of a really good thing there. The Saturday race in particular was really, really good. I'm glad
that. And a race-winning Mustang, was it?
Yeah, Ford won both the races with the brand new Mustang that the team took delivery of on Tuesday. So a pretty decent piece of kit straight out of the box. They didn't have to do much fiddling around there. There's a lot of upside there that category is going to experience in the coming rounds. I'm really looking forward to seeing where it goes.
Yeah, it was a terrific weekend. It just felt huge. The whole thing felt great, and proof that people will go to Phillip Island if you put on a good event and a good suite of categories and you promote it well to the right people, people will go to Phillip Island. And then the argument that no one will go for supercars, maybe it wasn't being sold correctly. I don't know, but yeah, that was certainly proof that people will go.
And you know what, Rich? The mix in the outfield was really interesting. There was a lot of hot hatch people there, but by the same token, there was a lot of Mustang people there. There was all sorts of different people mixed into the crowd. You could clearly see it that, you know, different people are there to see different things. You know, there are a lot of just punter race fans there, their SUV pull up as well, which were just enjoying whatever was shown in front of them. So it was a cool mix of people there. I liked it.
Mm, yeah. And a great mix of categories. You mentioned now those two fields, and GT4 will continue to grow. The World Challenge field will be bigger and better with GT3 cars as that grows as well. And there's a huge amount of excitement around stuff like Ford Mustang and Chevy Corvette coming, which is exciting.
I'm happy that the GT3 category's finally got their crap together. For too long, that category's been all over the shop. In the last year, but in coming into this year, they've really got it together, and that's things are happening.
Yeah, well, look, it's probably off the back of the 12-hour always looked great, but there's been issues around the domestic championship, but it's always been relatively strong. Like last year was an unbelievable season of GT World Challenge. What was interesting about the weekend, Shebex, was that there was one trophy car, so there was one old car. Everything else was outright or pro-am, so it wasn't being propped up by Mark cars or IRC cars or anything like that either. Right. So, I mean, you could even add those into the mix and the thing will be even stronger. But, it's hugely strong. But then you go beyond that and, you know, you had 18 GT3 cars, 19 GT4 cars, 26 Porsche Sprint Challenge cars, almost 20 Radicals, like really strong fields across those sports car categories. So they're all in the pro-am categories at the moment in Australia are in really good health. Where you've got rich bloke driving with a fast young driver or rich girl for whatever it might be, they're all in a really good position at the moment, which I think is a good sign for the sport. And they put on a really good show and a really good diverse mix of cars too. Like one make Porsche racing is so very different to GT4 that I think they can coexist the way they are. And same with radicals in a way, because it's just such a different thing to anything else out there. So no, I thought it was a really good event, really good racing. World Challenge was, I mean, that felt like a blockbuster spec racing between those guys, didn't it?
It looked like,
whether it was the pros in the fields or the pro-ams, that it, which it was.
Yeah. All right. Well, a great weekend at Phillip Island. Shannon Speed Series moves to round two.
The Bend is the next stop, it's a huge, huge race meeting. So GT3, GT4, TCR, Trans Am, Sprint Challenges there as well, and I think Australian production cars are on that program too, Shebeck. So it's a huge race meeting for South Oz at the Bend Motorsport Park. Timing not great.
No.
Living there, the June weather is either going to be really good or it'll be utterly horrific. Mm-hmm. But I suppose we'll roll the dice and see what happens. So not a brilliant date for attracting spectators, but nevertheless, I think it's going to be a great program regardless. And the Bend is a racetrack made for GT cars, so I think the show will be really good, whether you're watching there or whether you're watching on the screens of Seven that the broadcaster's on. So yeah, it should be a good weekend. But well, the Speed Series feels like it's turned a corner now. It feels like it's in a really good place, and it's still lots of things to improve on, but I think it's in a pretty good spot.
Agreed. Well, if Topo needed a story to give it a headline for this weekend, they really got it, didn't they, with the return of last year's champion to Erebus in Brody Kostecki. It's going to be interesting if he gets polar or something, isn't it? That press conference is going to go on for a while, I would have thought.
It's going to be interesting, isn't it? He'll no doubt be marched out in front of the press like they talked to Betty and Barry at Bathurst at the start of the year. No doubt they'll probably want to try and bowl over a bit of a chat first thing off the bat, just to get it out of the way and get it done with so he can focus on the rest of the weekend. It's going to be a big task to walk straight in there and be back to where he was. I mean, this team has been without him for two events now and the pre-season testing, and things have moved on since the end of last year, no doubt. So it'll be interesting to see where they fall. I mean, the level playing field of a new circuit. They've got an hour and a half on Friday afternoon to figure it all out. And like we said last week, so many of the guys have been over there pounding around in local rental races just to figure out which way the lie of the land is. So it'll be interesting to see who's done their homework and who's able to adapt a setup to it. You know, do we think that it might be a Victorian team who tests at Winton? I mean, Winton's not a circuit that the Supercars Championship has gone to in recent times, but all the Victorian teams pound around there, and it's a tight little bull ring like this is. So it'll be interesting to see if anyone's able to get a little bit of an advantage. You don't need much of an advantage to nail home a big result. So going to be good to see.
That's a really good point about the Winton thing. And I was thinking the same as I looked at the racetrack today on Tuesday, that it feels a lot like that turn 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 sequence through turn 1 up through turn 6 here at Taupo. It feels Winton in there. So you've got a long back straight, obviously, which is great, but there's a lot of Winton about this place, which isn't necessarily a bad thing because we've had some cracking races at Winton over the years. So it's going to reward a car that's got really good turn, corner entry is going to be really critical, power down the back. The interesting as well is that the stop at the end of the back straight isn't massive. So it's actually, and it's not 80 degree left-hander into that final chicane. It's actually, they turn in quite early and flow the car in there. So getting down the inside there is actually going to be really hard. What it might actually be is you get on the outside there and do a bit of over-under stuff and then nail them at turn one, which is a much, much heavier stop and quite a hard braking zone into that first corner. And there's also a surface change. They've resurfaced parts of this circuit, which they did before the New Zealand summer. And a lot of the drivers I've spoken to have said that it's quite noticeable. You get on and you're trying to brake and turn the car, especially at turn one, that it's very, very different. And the grip levels change very, very quickly. So, yeah, those teams that can that benefit this weekend, which is going to be really interesting.
Are any of the Kiwis going to have an advantage? Are there any Kiwis that have had plenty of racing at the track?
No, the hometown advantage thing, it's nice to talk up. And look, there's having, I mean, it's probably not going to change your performance, is it? But it'll be nice to have, but no, I don't think so. Professional drivers will be able to get up to speed pretty quickly on any racetrack. They should be able to anyway. If you're mates with Tom Randall, you get on his simulator and pound around and you'll be good to go.
So thoughts on the weekend, boys? What happens?
Look, I don't know, but I genuinely think it's going to be great for the sport, Chebec. So it's a cliche, I know, but the reaction and the feedback and the way they've built this event has been outstanding, and just being in town for a couple of days and getting the vibe and how it's all built up has been fantastic. So there's a genuine passion for supercars here. We know that. The fact the event, you know, you mentioned Brody before. The event sold out well before they announced Brody was coming back. Like, it wasn't even a factor in this event being a success. It's just another great storyline on top of already good storylines, which is really cool. So there's that's exciting. Just being back in New Zealand was so critical for this sport. We talked about it a lot in this pod for the last couple of years, haven't we? That not going to New Zealand was a massive drama, and losing Pukekohe was huge. So the fact they got this outcome and they got this solution and the reaction to it has been hugely successful. And having been at the racetrack and seen how it's all set up, and I think the punters are going to have a great weekend, a really good experience. And as we've seen at events like this, you know, year one's great, year two's when they nail it and they'll learn from all the year one stuff and they'll make it even bigger and better. I just think it's good for the sport this weekend. This is a, irrespective of who comes out on top, you know, if it's Triple Eight wins again, great. I think that's the big storyline. Unless one of the Kiwis goes out and wins at home, the big storyline is just racing in this market, which is where this sport desperately needs to be, because it's, you know, this place is as passionate about supercar racing as anything that we've got in Oz. I think it's hugely important, and I think they've, so far, they've got it right. The racing product will be the big question, though, boys.
Yep.
Whether it's a good racetrack for racing is what that will dictate. We're dictated by tyre wear and race formats and things like that, and we just won't know.
So what do we know? We know they haven't resurfaced the place for 75 years. So that's gonna
say
be
again.
Interesting. They haven't resurfaced the joint for a while, so that's going to be interesting to see how that goes on the tyres.
Bits of it, but it's not even the resurface, Chebec. It's been second gear a lot of the lap, which doesn't necessarily break racing, but we've been proven wrong before, so well, I have anyway. So it might turn out to be a brilliant racetrack for a Gen Z of it. If the racing isn't overwhelmingly good this weekend, then the and all that next year, but let's see.
Yeah, will the Fords bash into each other? Will they figure out how not to bash into each other? That might be important. I'm looking forward to seeing the battle between Will Brown and Brock Feeney, because that has absolutely been on for young and old there. And I think there's a bit of feeling, you know, when Brock got beaten at the Grand Prix on Sunday last time out, he was down in the dumps about it. Like, there's a lot of competition between those two, and I think it's going to come to a head at some stage during the season. Will it happen this weekend? Who knows? But, you know, there's nothing between them. They're trading wins, and I think that's going to be a really interesting storyline to see how that unfolds. And, of course, all eyes will be on Brady to see where he just slot, if he can just slot back into where he was last year.
And I'm still a massive believer that if we're going over there for one race, we need to do two. Need to be back-to-back weekends.
Stand by for Hots and Knots, Chebec.
Oh, hang on. Okay, beautiful. Well, let's get there shortly. What are we looking at in the States, Mark?
So there were Texas at the NASCAR there on the weekend. SVG in the Xfinity race went from 33rd to 18th, biggest improver in the Andy's Frozen Custard 300. So there's another good race sponsor to have up your sleeve there, Andy's Frozen Custard. So SVG's off to double duty at Talladega this weekend at the Super Speedway, so that'll be interesting to watch. No practice at all, straight into qualifying and then race. So good luck to you, Shane. Really, thoughts and prayers to you. And it was a return to crashing in the Cup Series. There were 16 cautions for the day in that one, so that was may not have been great racing, but it was good entertainment. Chase Elliott held on for the win after Denny Hamlin had a stack late going for the victory. William Byron second from Tyler Reddick. It was the first win for NASCAR's most popular driver in 560 days. So that's a good thing. October 2022 was the last time Chase from Dawsonville was able to get up for a win. And remarkably, it's also the first win for Hooters as a sponsor in NASCAR since Alan Kulwicki in 1992.
Wow.
So there's an important stat.
Wow.
And in other things, Jimmy Johnson finished 29th and should probably give it away. He owns the Legacy Motor Club team, and him wobbling around at the back is no good for his own legacy. So that's sad to see, really.
And this weekend, Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach, Chebex. So the IndyCars and IMSA doubleheader on the famous track.
Yeah, check it all out on the Race Talk TV guide there.
South of...
Yep.
Sorry, Richard, we just lost you there for a sec, so Mark ably jumped in and covered for you.
Sure. Yeah, good. I don't know what happened there. The New Zealand internet's not the best in the world, let's be honest.
No.
Is that a knot?
That's a knot.
That's a knot.
Let's start on then, hots and knots.
All right, well, I'll kick things off. Hot... the obvious aviation in the room is the racetalk.com drone cam from the weekend.
Very hot.
It's not just hot, Chebex. That is searingly surface of the sun scorching.
Yeah.
Not only did it look sensational, not only were the shots outstanding and well selected, the brand recognition, Chebex, that it delivered was outstanding. Very, very pleasing. There were some
especially
deals done.
You were on.
Look, I was very proud of my commentary colleagues as well for delivering on the commercial requirements that came with the racetalk.com sponsoring the drone cam. I will neither confirm nor deny that I was standing in the back of the commentary box for much of the weekend making sure they said it, and that when they did say the racetalk.com drone cam, I high-fived and or fist-bumped them. And that beers may have been bought of an evening at the North Pier Hotel as a result. Nevertheless, if you would like to sponsor the Motorsport Australia Shannon Speed Series drone cam at subsequent rounds, you should, because it's worthwhile. It's a great exercise in branding, and it will get used a lot over the course of the weekend. Hot, absolutely worth the shady under the table deals that were done to make it happen. They weren't that shady, actually. It was all very above board and brilliantly done, but worthwhile. I would highly recommend it. Please ask me if you'd like to see or learn what we got out of that, because I think it was really good for voice of mouth marketing, and certainly got people talking, which was excellent. So that's a searing hot. Liked it. Hot, the international travel process these days is just really easy now, isn't it? It felt like it was supposed to be hard, but the e-passports and online customs declarations and all that stuff just makes it unbelievably easy so that you can get through. Now, admittedly, we're not flying to Abu Dhabi or China, and that's obviously going to be harder, but we're only coming to easier. But it's just a nice amble walk through the e-passport gate and away you go. Sensational. Hot. Yep. It's great. Get on board, join the rush. And at the same time, I would throw a hot to the great country of New Zealand. It really is a sensational place, and the people over here are fantastic. They like all the same things we do. It's just marginally greener, and there's a lot more water around. So that's hot, giving that a massive hot. Good stuff. We've talked about Fanatec GT World Challenge Australia powered by AWS. Saying that name a lot in broadcast is probably bordering on a not, but I'll give the category a hot because the racing on the weekend was bloody sensational. And I'll also give a hot to my kids in the Porsche Michelin Sprint Challenge because while they did crash into each other a little bit, they raced cleanly. It was just awesome. And that group of young drivers in Sprint Challenge this year are going to put on a hell of a show. So really looking forward to that championship playing out. And then my final hot, Chebex, with my Porsche cap on, Carrera Cup in New Zealand. It's a really cool thing that this has been able to happen. to bring not just one, but two of Australia's major national racing championships over to this part of the world. Nine of the Carrera Cup Australia titles, 21 years the series have been Zealanders. All-time greats in one-mate Porsche racing in this part of the world are New Zealanders. There are Kiwi in McIlroy and Urban Motorsport, and this weekend, International Motorsport running. The driver standards chief is a Kiwi. It's a huge, huge market for Porsche, and with a great huge. So to have running here alongside supercars is really, really special, and it's cool to be part of it. Just the second time. And thoroughly looking forward to being here this weekend, Chevex. It feels really, really special.
Dave Reynolds said the last time he drove at Taupo was in Carrera Cup.
There you go.
A few years ago.
Reynolds did. Yeah. Well, it wouldn't have been in our Carrera Cup. But,
no, it might have been New Zealand Carrera Cup, but he said it was the last time he drove there.
Never had a Carrera Cup. Car. Good. Anyway, that's my thoughts.
Oh, well, maybe he was lying.
Possibly.
Mark.
Look, after quitting motorsport last week, Peter Adderton posted a note on the internet that read, "The truth is relentless and will not be silenced or hidden forever." And subsequently, it took him less than 4 days to get back on the Facebook to spill the beans on the Kostecki situation, which ended in a sentence that read, in all caps, "And media, you do not have my permission to repost any of this or use it at all," which I'm not sure is how posting things on the internet works. You could literally embed that post or share it as multiple people have. So let's just call that hot. That was pretty good. On Facebook, my suggestions the other day featured a group called the Adelaide Grand Prix Marketplace for merchandise and other memories from that great event in the Adelaide Parklands, which is hot. But I did notice that Richard Crail and friend of the show, Matt Nolte, were already members, so I chose not to join because I'd never be able to win a bid on anything. So it was a waste of my time. Hot F1 Sprint back on Saturday. Just like we mentioned the other week, it's exactly the same time as the Super V8 race from Taupo, but so much better than pointless free practice sessions. So looking forward to the F1 Sprint being back. And also a predictive hot getting in early here. I reckon Stake F1 are due for a sub-10-second pit stop this weekend. I can just feel it. I think they're it's bound to happen sooner or later, really, isn't it? It's going to happen. Hot goes Tim Miles and Brad Schumacher for that race. Absolutely box office stuff. That was great. The Xfinity Series finish from over there in the States. Sam Mayer beat Ryan Seacombe by 0.002 of a second, and the second closest finish in the history of the category. So do you remember the closest one there, Richard?
Yes, I do. I remember at Daytona, Mark, one of us made a good life choice in pit stop strategy for that race, and one of us didn't.
Oh, no, I definitely did not weave for the last 800 laps of that race, so that was a poor life decision. So,
how many overtimes was that? Four? Was it four overtimes?
Many, and the final margin of victory was 0.000, so they're never going to beat that one. So we saw the closest ever NASCAR race, so that was good.
That's as close to Jed Hoos as you're going to get.
Yeah, pretty much. So NASCAR and Fox in the Cup Series, they profile one of the pit crews each week. You know, for example, they get all the guys up there and they put them in front of the camera and they go, "Mark Walker, Queensland University of Technology, photographer." And this weekend they had Ross Chastain's team there, and there were some absolute blinders in the mix. And my personal favourite was Brooke Davenport, fueler, lactose intolerant, which I thought was a nice touch. Nice. Legit, that was a thing that actually happened. And hot goes to Keelan Harvick, son of Kevin Harvick, who in his first ever race in the street stock, he's 11 years old, and he finished second at New River All-American Speedway before later in the night winning the Legend race. So that's all cool, but what is actually hot is just the name Keelan. It's a combination of his dad, Kevin, and his mum, Delana's names, which is a bit like if I called my kid Macarena or Kark, as it turns out. So lucky I didn't do the full Harvick treatment on my child. So that's my hots for the week.
Well done. My hot goes to Super Cheetah Porto and Motorsport Australia, who put a fantastic display at the Graceland facility here in Melbourne for the launch of the Craig Lowndes and Cooper Murray car, the wild card for Sandown and Bathurst, of which we also found out that Cooper will be racing solo up at Darwin for a bit of a run. So it was just a really good night. fair few hundred people there that came along, all dressed up, wanting to get autographs and the like. All the drivers were there. Jamie Winkup was there. Brock Feedy was there. Scotty Pye was there. It was just a really good atmosphere, a good night, and they don't do things in halves, as I said a couple of weeks ago. They go all out. There was race simulators there. There was all that sort of stuff. So it was a real good motor racing feel around the shipping containers of Graceland. And, that was a very good effort by all involved.
Nice. For knots, I'm going to give a knot to ourselves for not talking about in the show so far some news that broke just before we started recording. For those that follow, usually news normally drops Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. And by news, we mean any news, basically, of consequence. So therefore, with us recording the show on a Tuesday night, we often don't get a chance to talk about it. But it has actually just recalled to me that earlier on Tuesday, just before we recorded the show, the news came out that Matt Charter will broadcast
yes.
Turn Down 500 and Bathurst 1000, which seems to be fairly big news. We haven't talked about it. So it's a not from us for actually having news to talk about that we haven't actually delivered on, despite the news gods never being in favour of. But anyway.
Is there anything you'd like to say about it?
Three.
Mark?
No, that's hot. That's really good. Good family team there, and they'll put on a good show, whichever chassis they wind up getting there. So they've been keen as mustard to get that going after that wild card a couple of years ago. But now in Gen 3, they'll go out there and hopefully they put on as good a show as they did a couple of years ago. If it wasn't for a bit of a bugger up on the brake pad change, they would have been absolutely on for a result at the back end of the top 10. So, looking forward to that. That'll be good.
We have spoken about it now, Richard.
No, very good. No, excellent. That therefore then becomes a hot and cancels out that not, yes. I think, by the rules of the hots and knots of On the Grid, if there are such things. There's no more GT3 racing this week for me to call because I bloody enjoyed that last weekend. That was outstanding. At least it's Porsche racing, so that's a hot, which probably cancels that out as well. I actually don't have that many knots this week. I'm in New Zealand. It's a great place. The beer here is delicious. I'm pretty happy with life, so I'm going to bypass some knots this week. I don't want to lower my tone, but I'm sure my learned colleague, Mark Walker, if the TRT power rankings on the racetalk.com are anything to go by, we'll have a knot or two to roll out at the end of this show.
Go, Mark.
Right, buckle up. So on Saturday in the GT race, Ben Schutz had his massive stack at the top of the main straight, his AMG, slick tyres, wet track, wobbled sideways into the fence and significant force blew the thing apart. The clean-up and the rebuild used the final minutes of the GT race, the downtime before the start of the Trans Am race, then delayed the program by another 58 minutes. Obviously, big job by the volunteers and was kind of restrained by the time it took for the forklift-looking thing to bring all the prefabricated tyre stacks out onto the circuit. All of that in isolation, that's a knot. But the thing is, it never had to happen. So I'll break this down in a few bits. Firstly, there's been millions and millions and millions of dollars spent on safety at Phillip Island over the years. It's come an awful long way from that track that killed multiple car races back in the day. But it still has a long way to go, especially for cars. You know, a lot of those improvements to safety have looked after the trajectories that motorbikes have when they fall off, which tend to be a bit different to what happens with cars. And I know for a fact, I've been on this podcast and banged on about it multiple times. So the incident itself, the car went into a short section of the wall just between the recently installed movable concrete barriers, which have been fitted with catch fencing and the tyres, the rubber belting, which is great, and the start of the concrete wall proper. The section that the car got into was a dirty old dirt embankment with some rather loosely bound together tyres unprotected by rubber belt, which subsequently fell apart. And there are a few lucky things there. One, the tyres didn't go into the spectator area. We've talked that there were a lot of spectators there on the weekend, so we're lucky that they didn't get sprayed with tyres because that would be a really bad thing. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it was very, very lucky that it didn't hit a little bit further back upstream because there was a stretch of wall there that simply had tyres bound together with no earth bank behind them at all. And if he hit there, we wouldn't be talking about delaying the program. It would be something that would be really properly messy. So Motorsport got lucky in that sense there, that he stacked it where he did. Now, Phillip Island, problems aren't just at the top of the main straight. They're down at the southern loop. They're over Lurkey Heights. They're all areas that cars manage to crash. When they do, the cars get torn apart, and it causes big delays to the program because they have to fix the bloody fence. Now, Phillip Island, it just frustrates me. They were, those tyre walls were garbage in the 1990s, and they're not acceptable in 2024. So what can we do? You know, the track could take the initiative, but ultimately it'd have to be signed off by Motorsport Australia, or Motorsport Australia could dictate to the track that things need to change. Yeah. Who's going to go there? You know, the ironic thing is that the delays were at this key Motorsport Australia event, and it ate into the free-to-air TV window of Motorsport Australia's program. So that was a really tough break there. It's interesting, Motorsport Australia, they're based in Melbourne, and some of the sketchiest country tracks in the country are based here in Victoria. You know, why do I bang on about the safety? For starters, like these past 27 years, I've been able to photograph it just about every track in Australia outside of the Collie Motorplex, and standing on or behind some of these walls, you get a really good feel for the safety or the lack of safety that goes on. And I've got to tell you, there's some things that just about every bloody racetrack around the country that could be improved upon, including Albert Park. You know, if Motorsport Australia needs a list of things that appear okay from the track surface but are actually rubbish when you look at them closely, I'm happy to drop them a line, because I go out there and take a photo on my phone every time I see something dud, and there's something dud at just about every racetrack. So secondly, I've seen guys get killed and put into ambulances, and that is awful. And I hate to see big crashes. I hate to see people get hurt. And just sometimes it seems like we're waiting to be reactive about these things when it's very obvious that there's problems there that can be resolved before they become an actual issue. So, you know, I hope we figure it out. It's 2024. That sort of crash shouldn't happen. And it pissed me off then. It pissed me off now. Fix it. And other stats from the weekend, how about that Garth Walden one off the start line? You know, I think the thing that was missed by the Race Talk drone cam was the fact that he got some really serious air there. He was quite kissed that he was able to drive away from that. I was very surprised to see how high he was in the air and that he was able to drive on. So he was a lucky boy with that one. Other things, Phillip Island, how do you get a jump start overturned? I didn't know that was a thing that you could argue post-race, but apparently it is. So that's a nice one there if you can get away with it, if you can. Also from the weekend, the crowd of Phillip Island, we've talked about it as fantastic. Probably wasn't to the level of the Phillip Island Classic from the start of the year, but it looked really impressive. You know, there was a lot of cars around the whole way around the circuit, which was great. But it was absolutely pathetic that there was no public address for the majority of the spectator areas, which I think is criminal. Yeah. Then there was the fact that there was only one food outlet open to cater to 17,000 people over the weekend. Just that canteen down at the end of the pits. That's useless. You've got a crowd of these events. You've got to turn on the whole program for them. You know, if you want them to come back next time, that's the sort of thing it ticked me off. Like, I'm sure these other casual punters that toddle down there for the day, dole out their money, they expect to get a bit of service for it. So I hope that we can figure those sorts of things out and don't let that happen in future and service the paying audience. Not goes to KO missing the first 55 laps of the NASCAR race to show the MotoGP post-race waffle, which is a hard knot, especially in KO, where they're not necessarily, I wouldn't have thought, bound by programs running long on other channels. So that was bizarre and weird and not good enough. And finally, and perhaps the most serious knot of all, sadly goes to the 28-minute episode of Bluey. I don't need to start off my week by crying that much. Screw you, Bluey.
That's fair.
That's fair. I haven't seen it yet, but
don't watch it. It's not.
I've been warned already by members of the audience. Yeah, no, that's not good. Good knots, though. Valid, I think.
Always.
A lot of valid. And I can tell you that the TRT power rankings have been read by people that should read them.
Good.
So, which is nice.
Excellent. What happens for you now for the next couple of days, Richard?
So as you listen to this, it'll be Wednesday up and then on Thursday here in Taupo. Really looking forward to supercars are driving the whole field down into from the racetrack to the town, which is about 10 minutes drive. Nice. So that's going to be really mirroring what they do at Mount Panorama at the 12 hour. I think that's going to be outstanding, which is going to be great. So all the usual channels, Fox Sports, KO, Sky Sport will have it. Murphy is part of the broadcast this weekend, which is good. It's obligatory, I believe. It's actually by law you have to have Murphy as part of the, yeah, the show if you're doing motorsport in New Zealand. For sure. Fair, because he's a good guy at life. So, yeah, looking forward to that. And then we go car racing after that. And then next week, I'm going to go and retrace the old Wellington street circuit just for something different.
Beautiful. Excellent. Mark, thanks for your time.
No, thank you, Tony. Good luck to you, Richard.
Yes, good luck. Have a great weekend, Richard.
It's nice being here. Kiwi, what a place.
Thank you for joining us as well, right here on The Grid.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at radiolemans.com.